Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, August 19th, and we're here, and despite the fact that we're here. Hi, Jen. How you doing?
Hi, Sam.
I'm talking shit because, again, not enough sleep. Did you get any sleep last night?
Sure did.
You were able to catch up on some. Good for you.
Thanks.
I'm glad to hear.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, I don't know. A guestless show, I guess. So we're going to have a lot to come up with. And I enjoyed yesterday's show with our guest, a credit expert that was here. You guys definitely have to watch that show. I've been telling everybody, or to listen to the show, because there's some, I think, some groundbreaking, I think, revelations, at least to me.
It was really interesting. I enjoyed talking to them a lot. And I think people can learn either like a new outlook on how to tackle credit, or maybe be hopeful about it, or just, you know, maybe they'll learn one new piece of information, or maybe they've learned a lot. So
yeah.
Check it out.
I just found it was counterintuitive to what we all think. And, you know, all the finance experts will tell you, pay off your debt first, which makes sense. You know, then you can get going with your life. But the problem is, if you haven't paid your debt in so long, you probably can't pay it.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense.
I mean, I think the biggest goal is to not get into that much debt where it's like disabling.
Right. Like in the first place.
Right. Like, I mean, granted, I have student loans and that's just, it is what it is. But like people that open multiple credit cards and then end up with like, you know, so many thousands of dollars in debt, like whatever you bought, was it worth it? It's not like you bought a house with that money.
Right, exactly.
So I think it just all depends like what got you in the situation in the first place, what you use the credit for. And
right, it does depend, you know, because some people will like max out the cards to start a business and things like that, you know. So
well, that I think
not
is
really spending a lot of money. But
no, I think that makes sense, like because you have to have money to make money. So I think, you know, if it's you're putting like a computer on a card, or you're, because, you know, like you can open a card at Best Buy and then like refinance it or pay it back. Right. Or like, I don't know, just supplies and things, or maybe put some of your utilities on a credit card so that you have cash to pay other things.
Right.
You know, like to start a business or to whatever you got to do. I think that makes sense. But it's when you're just running rampant and shopping that doesn't make sense. Then you're stealing.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that I think the intent here also is not on ripping off the credit card companies, you know, by genuinely trying to pay it, because there's only so much you can do before they'll really block you.
Right.
So, but the bottom line was that
also, if you get a credit card, like when you have money or you have a job, and then all of a sudden you don't have a job, your intention might have always been to pay it off. But if you can't now, you can't.
Right.
Because the economy has changed. So it just depends, you know, I think, on where you are in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that I think in general debt sucks because you're enslaved to somebody else, you know. And a good example of it is if you take a loan from a person that you know or something, you know, and it's like you're totally indebted to them. And that's not a great feeling. When people come after you for money, and especially when you can't pay it.
If somebody ever buys me a drink or like buys something, like if we are supposed to split the bill or whatever, and then they pay for it, I will immediately pay them back.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Thanks to Venmo, because Venmo like makes it so easy. You can just transfer money right away. So, I mean, obviously I'm not borrowing lots of money, and I don't think I would, just because then you owe somebody money.
Right.
And that hangs over your head. And then you have to make sure you have that money, and then you have to do it soon.
I know. And what happens is eventually you owe money, and then you avoid the person and so forth, and then it can affect the relationship. And that's why I say, don't do things like this with friends and family. Don't borrow money.
I agree. If you don't have it, you probably shouldn't ask for it from someone else.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, if you think you can handle it with a credit card, that's fine. But not from people, because you're going to lose the money and the friend.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's just happened way too many times. If it's a person you know, like a coworker, a good friend or something, I mean, I think the instinct is to help them out and stuff. But I don't think you're helping them out, because for the most part, when someone borrows money, they're in deep trouble anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going to see money, and you're going to lose the friend. And if it's a dear friend, why do that? You know, why risk that? So if they're going to unfriend you because you're not lending the money, then you have to reexamine that friendship.
Right.
You know, whereas you're trying to preserve the friendship. So, but sometimes it's just tempting to help a friend or a family member, you know. I mean, they ask, you know, it's tough not to have money. So, yeah, it's a tough situation, man.
Sam, you sound tired.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I am tired, Jen.
What happened last night that you didn't get sleep?
It's the usual stuff, you know. I just stay up till 4, working,
yeah.
Whatever, researching, gotcha. Reading. Yeah. I started reading Donald Trump's books. I got 2 of them, actually. And one is more like a business book or a success book. But the other one is one he wrote 4 years ago on politics and stuff and economy. And it's just so interesting for me to read because, you know, I can't help but take him seriously because he knows what he's talking about. At least that's my opinion. So at least I feel that I'm armed now to debate Donald Trump. And to see where it's going, you know. But people can't ignore this. I mean, the thing is, in the poll now, they're saying that he's even even competitive with Hillary Clinton. You know, they're saying, because in the beginning it was just like, oh no, you know, if he gets elected by the Republicans, he's going to be responsible for them losing the elections because he can't really make it as president. People don't think he can. And then he would just usurp all the votes from the Republicans against Hillary. Now, there's a couple of things with that. First of all, things can change quite a bit until then. And Hillary's in deep trouble now, and we'll see if she'll even stay the whole run. So, you know, when you have some Republicans starting to consider Donald Trump, yeah, you got to take him seriously. But you know what I'm thinking is I don't know if it's necessary for Hillary to disappear or not in order for this to happen, but I think that Joe Biden, the vice president, I think he's going to throw his hat in the ring. And when he does, I think he's going to be the most serious contender, because he's sort of like squeaky clean for the most part.
Yeah, but will people want to vote for him when he's, you know, connected to President Obama and people have feelings about that administration?
Right. Well, the Democrats probably will, you know. And I can't imagine the Republicans voting for any Democratic candidate.
But even Democrats aren't happy with the current administration.
I don't know about that, Jen. I mean, if Facebook is any indication, people love this president.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish more people would have had enough of him to say, let's have some change. But no, a lot of people are saying he's the best president ever.
So who else is going to run for Democratic?
Well, we have Ben Sanders, right, who is he's now given Hillary a run for her money. I don't know much about him, but he's the one following her immediately. But like I said, you know, it's just like with, I remember George Bush, when he ran, he came in rather later in the race and took it all, you know, so for 2 terms. So I personally didn't like him. I wasn't as conservative then as I am now, and I just didn't like him as a person. You know, I didn't think he was a good leader. I thought he was immature. And I don't know, what do I know? But he got 2 terms, which I couldn't believe. But then again, you know, so the thing is that all I can tell you is from what I've been reading in different sources, things since Obama started have not been very conducive to bringing people together. I don't think he's managed to bridge the gaps between different classes in society. And that's what he promised. So I don't know.
I don't think he can if the economy is the way it is.
Well, yeah, but, you know, some people are saying, oh, the economy is better than it was. But that's against the facts. I mean, that's not really what happened. He hasn't created nearly as many jobs as he said he would. And that Donald Trump is showing how we're being sold out to the Chinese. You know, and that's just a terrible thing. But he says, look, he says, the Chinese are not our friends. They're our enemy. They view us as enemy. They come in here and hack into our systems. They also devalue their money, which makes our products more expensive there. And so less exports are being sent there, and we have less manufacturing jobs here. So he says they're essentially decimating our manufacturing sector, and we're just going along with it and appeasing them. And I just see too much appeasement with this administration. I don't know. So,
well, I think one thing that Donald Trump is doing is bringing to light a lot of things that people don't necessarily talk about.
Right. That's one thing. And also,
and he's talking about solutions and things too. Well, they're his solutions, like, you know, building the wall in Mexico and like sending illegal immigrants back. Right. He's talking about like real actionable items, and I feel like not everyone is talking about that. They're talking about like what they don't want versus what they do want to do.
Or they attack people, which he does too, I guess.
Yeah,
that's just politics. But, yeah, people are saying, oh, he's not a politician. What does he know? The thing is, I think sometimes you want someone who's not a politician, because most of them are, really, they have to answer to their contributors. I mean, they promise them all kinds of things in exchange for money. And he feels, hey, I can finance my whole campaign by myself. I don't need to bend to anyone, you know?
Hey, I mean, crazier things have happened. Like,
I know.
Ronald Reagan was president. Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor. Like,
right.
Maybe Donald Trump needs to be our president. I don't know.
Yeah. With Ronald Reagan, though, he was a governor before that, which was pretty puzzling, too, you know, being an actor and everything. But at least he had an office, a public government office, before he became president. But Trump can't say that. But I think, obviously he has struck a chord with voters, and we'll see what happens. To me, what I realize is that he's energized the campaign. I mean, I always wait to see what he's going to say and how it's going to happen. Like, suddenly, I don't view him as a reality show host or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, and he's been around for a while, you know. I mean, I don't know. People don't take him seriously, but I kind of enjoy to see the liberals squirm a little bit, you know, after rubbing it in our faces for 8 years that they had the presidency. So we'll see. But Hillary Clinton, with her email scandal now, and still the Benghazi thing won't leave her alone, and... Yeah, so I don't know if she's going to be able to run the whole way. She might have some problems. And, you know, I've said it before. I was for her at one point, but she's really changed, and I don't think she's representing me anymore. And, you know, and besides, maybe like deep inside I thought, I enjoyed her husband's presidency. Maybe she'll do well as well. But she's a whole different person. It's a different time in history, so yeah. What was I going to ask you? And I forgot. Never mind. I am probably going horseback riding tonight.
Wow.
So hopefully I have something to report. Yeah, when it's not so hot. So we'll see how that works out. I don't really feel like doing it during the week, but I have to commit to doing it.
Right.
Know? I'm going to do it, Jen.
I mean, you should want to commit to it. It sounds more like a burden to you than something that you want to do.
Not at all. Not at all. It's just fitting it in. That's all.
I am so curious as to, I mean, I know that you're busy because when you run a business, that's what happens. But where, like, what you do with your time, like your time management, just because you do stay up so late at night and like you can't squeeze in horseback riding.
Right.
So like, well, I wonder, like, I mean, it's funny because on Steve Harvey, my favorite person, he'll take people's schedules and put them up on screen.
Really?
And they have no idea how to like move things around or how to make time for things. So like he'll just, I mean, he takes it and he will go bullet by bullet and like he'll make fun of you because he'll be like, really? That's in your schedule? Really? Or like, and that's what you think you can't move?
Right.
Like, I mean, even just TV time, for instance, somebody will put that in there as like downtime. So they'll put TV time.
Right.
And so like if the guy's trying to make time for his wife or vice versa, let's say it's in a relationship or a family thing, they're like, he's like, okay, well, I can see clear moments in this calendar that can be moved, shortened, relocated, or like taken away altogether.
Right.
So I just think scheduling is a very interesting thing.
No, it is. It is. And to be honest with you, I don't really schedule things. I mean, it's pretty much routine for me. But in what I do, things come up all the time. So you have to change what you're doing.
Right.
Like phone calls, things like this come up.
But what comes up between like 11 p.m. and 4 a.m.?
Nothing. I'm doing research a lot, you know, things that I don't have time to do during the day. Because during the day, it's more like putting out fires sometimes. Mostly I'm in communication with hosts, prospective hosts, things like that, you know. So that keeps me busy. But I actually have the software that keeps track of what I do on the computer all the time. Then it gives me like graphs and reports.
Wow. Yeah. What is that program?
It's called Rescue Time. Yeah, rescuetime.com.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what is the goal of this?
To know how you're spending your time.
Online.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's pretty enlightening to
see. What has it taught you about your habits?
Not much, really. The thing is also, I realize that, look, and it's not all work, Jen. Sometimes I read. For me, reading is relaxing.
Yeah.
And then like at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, oh, let me watch some TV or something, you know, catch up on the news, something like that. Because I do read the newspaper when I eat lunch, but still I like to, you know, I get like second wind at around 1, 2 o'clock.
You Have
know?
You ever read the book, the 4-hour work day or 4-hour work week?
The 4-day work week.
4-day work week.
Right. I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have it if you want to borrow it.
Really?
Yeah.
So what does it say?
And not to say that you don't do this, but to work smart, not hard or long.
Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, there's a point to that. No problem at all. The thing is, for me, it's not that I, I do like to take breaks during the day. That's what I'm saying, you know. So then I sort of have to make up for it somehow at some time. But that's not the case, you know. Like, I would think around like 1 or 2 o'clock, suddenly I feel like reading, and then I can just put it down. You know, for me, I think the hardest thing is just to say, okay, you know, I think I need to commit to a time, and say that's it. You know, you can't stay up beyond that. So I think there's something to learn from all this. You know, and the fact is that you do need to sleep. You do need to sleep.
Definitely do.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell it in my voice, like you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, you seemed pretty tired. I mean, you said you were.
I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Not sleeping to me is the worst thing that can happen.
It really can. You become like drunk in a way, right?
It makes everything so much harder. Right. It makes simple things hard. It makes you not want to do things. It makes you irritable. It makes you not work out. It makes you struggle through the rest of the day. It's just, to me, terrible. So, like,
yeah.
I mean, I couldn't fall asleep. I woke up, I needed to pee, and then my brain started going. It was like 4 a.m. I took half a melatonin, then I took half a Xanax, and I still couldn't fall asleep. So an hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes later, finally at like 5:35, 45, I finally fell back asleep. But that amount of time I was awake was really detrimental to the next day.
Yeah. Wow.
But last night I went to sleep and, you know, today I feel good.
Caught up and everything, which is cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, but there's a reason why nature has a sleep, you know? I mean...
Yeah, you have to recharge your battery. You have to shut down.
And everything, yeah. No, absolutely. I'm just trying to cheat being tired and cheat my body, but it's not working out.
No. You got to give in. I think that book can wait.
I know, I know. It's like you would think, right? Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah, I do need to reschedule things, I think. If I want to watch some TV, do it at 11, not at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are you going to do, man?
I don't know, because I would guess you wake up probably pretty early. So, like, what time do you wake up to come here?
The clock goes off at 7:30, and then I snooze till 8.
Okay, so you wake up at 8.
So think about it. I mean, if I get to bed, like, at 4 o'clock.
That's what I'm saying.
That's 4 hours of sleep, barely.
That's, like, nothing. You might as well not. But, so, that's somebody's nap. But, so, you wake up at 8, and then we're done here by... 11,
right.
And then you have the rest of the day.
Right. And then everything's really busy. I mean, I really have like, you know, even like going to see my parents, I try to see them every day.
Yeah.
That's like 2 hours right there, you know, for driving and being there.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And then I come here at night and run video shows and stuff. So, So it does work out that way, but... I'm not complaining. I really don't, you know. And I'm saying it's not like I'm constantly working until then. And I am admitting I take time to read or watch some TV or whatever. But I should probably rearrange that. And just look, I get home at 9:30. I'm ready to start the evening. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Why do you get home then? Oh, because you come here first and do
for the video shows.
Right. And you're the only... Well, you said you were going to start training people to do that.
Right, and I have.
Okay.
So now it's just a question of finding... working out the schedule.
Got it. Okay. So that will free up some of your night times.
Yeah. And then everything will change, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think everything will change.
You could eat earlier. You could read earlier. You could watch TV earlier. You could go on dates.
Between 7 and 9, that's the most, I think, important time. And I'm working during that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for making me look at my schedule, though.
No problem.
That's good. Sometimes you have to stop and take a look at it and re-examine it.
Yeah. Also, sometimes it helps with fresh eyes because, you know, you get into a groove, you get into a routine, and then that's what you're used to doing because that's what you've been doing. But it doesn't mean it's the best way to do it or the best, you know, like best for you.
Right.
If you're not sleeping, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of does affect every other day after that.
It does.
Don't they say you can't make up sleep?
Sleep,
like,
they do.
Or if you do, it's from the night before that. So you're actually a day behind always.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So,
Well, we'll see. I don't know, but you're right. I mean, I should. I think there is a way to do it, and I just need to turn off. That's all it is. And they are saying, you know, when you're like looking at a monitor, whether it's your iPad or whatever, it can keep you awake.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's see what's going on in the news. I guess the former Subway pitchman, Jared Fogle, reaches a plea deal to admit that he actually traveled across state lines to have sex with teenage girls.
Yep.
And porn charge. I didn't even realize he was accused of having sex with a teen because they were talking about child pornography.
Right. I didn't know that either until just recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's going to jail.
Yeah. Between 5 and 12 and a half years. Wow.
That's good, though. I mean, it's a good example because he became sort of like a celebrity to people while all he does is, you know, do the Subway ads. But it's the same thing with, like, Bill Cosby. Like, you're doing things that are wrong. You need to, you know, I mean, serve justice for them because...
Right. And you're in the public eye, you know.
So. Right. And so they have to make an example of you. You can't just get off. I mean, and not that you should, but...
Yeah.
I'm glad that there's justice being served.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he had sex with a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old in exchange for money, actually. So...
For years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. For years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's an illness, man. That's a disease.
Wow. Like, I don't understand why. I mean, I guess I should understand. People just do what they do. But, like, if he knew he was doing something illegal or wanted to, had an inkling that that was something he wanted to do, he's got money. Instead of paying a teenager to have sex with you, why don't you go get therapy?
Yeah.
Pay that person.
Right. But if they're that far gone that they have to have a minor, then maybe they're too far gone.
I mean, I guess. I mean, how far gone are you the first time?
Yeah. I mean, who wants to admit they have a problem, you know? I mean,
I don't know. People yeah. should.
To go to a therapist and say, look, you know, I'm attracted to young girls. Wow.
Well, he's going to be talking about it for a while in jail. Right.
But
Enjoy.
Would they have to report that? I mean, when you report something illegal, when you confess something, doing something illegal, I think the therapist is compelled to have to call the authorities.
I'm not sure. I don't know how that works. But also, if it happened once, I don't think that it would have been as serious as 5 to 13 years.
Yeah. But, I mean, think about it. What if you're the therapist and someone comes in and says, look,
yeah, no, I think you have to, like,
kill somebody.
Right. I think you have to report it. But I'm saying, like, if it happened, like, once and then they were like, shit, I did this. I need to tell a therapist because I know this is wrong.
Yeah.
They wouldn't get 5 to 13 years. But now, because of all the choices he's made.
Yeah, I know.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the kind of thing where people in jail, like, they take it out. Like, they will serve their own justice. Because people in jail always, like, I think they, like, get mad at other people for their crimes.
Yeah, like self-righteous all of a sudden.
Right. They, like, police each other.
Right.
Like, somebody in jail, I mean, I don't know what they did, but, like, maybe their daughter was once molested by somebody. So then they're going to want to go after Jared. Bye, Jared.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
I don't know anybody that wants to do the time, so.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, well. He's not going to be eating Subway very long.
No. Well, there's a picture here of before and after. I didn't realize he was that overweight. He was obese. Wow. And, you know, and just think about it. It's not just the illegal thing, but the shame, you know, that the whole world will find out about your transgressions. I mean, my God, you know. I don't know, man. People take chances.
They do. And clearly they don't think about the shame and they don't think about the time in jail and they don't think about the help they could have gotten.
It just shows you how powerful sex drive can be, though, huh?
Yep.
It can make you blind.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Well, definitely our creator was playing games or jokes with us or something, because to not be able to control that is pretty sad.
Well, people also can't control killing people. Like, some people just are wired differently.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's one of many issues people have.
That's true.
I don't know that it's the biggest, because then there's also just evil people out there.
Yeah.
There's people with addiction. There's people with a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
And then there's people with mental health issues. Rosie O'Donnell's daughter just ran away.
Yeah, I was just going to bring this up. What happened?
She ran away, like August 11. She ran away.
How old is she?
She's not very young. So let me see. She's 17, and she ran away with her. She has an actual, like, anxiety dog.
Oh, okay.
And she, yeah, it's her therapy dog. She ran away, and I guess she's on, like, she has mental illness, so she takes medicines, and she hasn't been taking it, and...
Oh, wow.
I don't know. They didn't say why she ran away.
Yeah.
But she
did.
It's
pretty sad, huh? I mean, at 17 to run away, obviously she's got some problems.
Right.
Wow. How sad, man. Mental illness is so sad. It makes you crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and also, like, I mean, not that this doesn't happen to people that aren't celebrities, but to be a celebrity and have your child run away and, like... You know, obviously we understand what mental illness is because we just know what it is. But, like, for people that don't, think, like, what is Rosie O'Donnell doing to her daughter to make her daughter run away?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a 17-year-old daughter.
Right.
It's not like she's 12 where she's, like, throwing a tantrum and running away from home. Like, she's 17. So what's going on there?
Yeah. That's the thing with mental illness. you have to rely on other people, and often it's your mother. That's sad, man. That's really sad. It hurts me to see people with mental illness because, you know, sometimes people look at them as character defects and stuff, but it's they truly can't help it.
Right.
You know? That's sad. So she's back, right?
Yeah. I mean,
they found her?
Yeah.
Do you know where they found her?
Did she come back?
No, huh? Yeah.
I don't know.
They're saying they have been in contact with her and everything, so maybe she just kind of came in.
I don't know. I think it's just so strange.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure we'll find out more.
And she didn't have a phone with her either.
I mean, she really ran away.
Yeah. I remember running away when I was, I must have been, I don't know, maybe 11 or something. And I got into an argument with my mom. So I had an aunt that lived on a kibbutz in Israel, you know, which is like a commune. They still have them, but they're not the same as they used to be. So it's sort of like a commune where everybody sort of lives together. They even rear their children together, you know, as a community. And so I had a young aunt there on a kibbutz, so I took a bus and drove down there, probably had a couple of extra bucks or something. And I got there, and I'm like, please don't tell my mom, you know. I want her to be in pain a little bit, you know. I want her to suffer a little bit. Sure enough, you know, probably 5 minutes later, she called my mom. I mean, what do? You have your 11-year-old nephew there. You're not going to call his mom?
Right, of course you are.
Yeah.
I ran away to the backyard once. It was like me just throwing a tantrum and like trying to make a point, and no one cared. They're like, awesome. Because we lived in a gated community. They're like, you're not going anywhere.
Well, that's hard, huh? But
what?
Not being able to go anywhere.
No, I wasn't like locked in, meaning like,
no, I know. But they told you you couldn't go, right?
No, well, anybody that runs away isn't like abiding by rules. So they just knew I wasn't going to go anywhere. They're like, you're not going to get very far. You're literally in a nice gated community. Like, what are you going to like be like, ah, not this life. No, I'm going to go take the... And outside the gated community is like an unsafe area. So, because in Florida and Miami, like you live in gated communities for a reason. So they're like, you're not going to go to Biscayne Boulevard and start taking the bus. Like, there's no way you're going to go on a bus. So I think they just assumed, like, I'd be back.
Yeah.
Or I'd go to the neighbor's house or something. And they were like, bye.
Right, exactly.
So my running away was like, okay. I guess I'll come back then.
It's funny. The things we remember, though, you know. It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, running away. Let's see. Did you see this? A little controversy, of course, over Sharon Stone's nude pictures. What magazine is it in? Harper's Bazaar. And I guess she's 57 years old. Obviously looks amazing. And did you know that she had health problems and stuff? She had a debilitating brain hemorrhage.
I did not know that.
In 2001. So that's like 14 years ago. And she said that I guess it killed her career, and she's trying to revive it. But the funny thing is, she says the experience taught her to capitalize on aspects of her identity other than her sex appeal. I assume the experience of having that that brain hemorrhage. So
why would she then pose naked?
Yeah, good question, right?
And I guess that probably is that what the article is about?
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, so she gives sort of like an analogy and stuff why she's doing that. But whatever it is, they're saying those are flawless pictures, which, you know, have been photoshopped to death. Because I've seen some day-to-day pictures of her, and she doesn't look that way. She doesn't look that way. But you know what? If you can make yourself look good at 57, more power to you, I think.
I think it's great. I just think that you can't be hypocritical and say that you're capitalizing on whatever happened to your brain and not your right. physicality.
Exactly.
So is the article saying she's a hypocrite?
I'm not reading the article. I'm just writing an article about the article. So, you know, I don't know what that that is, but she just says, you know, when she was younger, people said she wasn't sexy and she wouldn't be able to get jobs because of it. So maybe that put some pressure on her. I don't know. But it's...
This is a little confusing. In other news, the hackers of Ashley Madison actually did release the information.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
Wow.
Where can
you find it?
You have to look. I don't know. But so it's somewhere on the internet. It's called, like, the dark web. But they threatened the company and said, you need to take down the site or we are going to release all the information.
Right.
So I guess they didn't shut down the site and they released the information.
And now they'll have to, because who's going to trust that site anymore? I think they're finished.
I don't know.
You know, but you have to wonder how these things still happen. I mean, the thing is, like similarly with Sony, I mean, that was such a serious hack to release all the emails of people and their information and everything. It destroys businesses, you know. I mean, with Ashley Madison, it's all about being anonymous and stuff, you know.
Right.
And once they release that information, nobody's going to go on that site.
Right, which is okay. I think that's the whole point.
So they're being destroyed.
I'm not mad at it.
Well,
if you're hacking for good, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
Maybe some people need a reminder of what their morals should be.
Yeah, but is it somebody else's job to do that?
I don't know. Why do we have politicians making decisions and on our rights and things like that?
I don't know. But what if somebody said, you know what? I don't think your medical record should be confidential and would release your medical records or something. How would you feel about that? Simply because they're like...
I think medical records are different than in it, like you're taking a vow for marriage. Like also, if we're going to go back to like, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not cheat or whatever, or
right.
commit adultery. Like no one anywhere says your medical record should be confidential.
No, but what if somebody... That's the point, is that it's people that are random that making those decisions for you. I mean, you know, some people... It's like, what business is that of yours if somebody else is cheating? You know what I'm saying?
It's not, but I'm not mad at it. I think that, you know...
Well, I'm not mad either. I couldn't care less. But what I am mad about is that they're destroying a business and that it can be done. You know, I mean, today it's them. What's going to happen tomorrow?
Right. And that is fine, big picture thinking. But in this particular instance, down with Ashley Madison.
Right. Okay. Well, so it's time for you to celebrate.
I'm not celebrating. I'm just saying that I'm glad that, you know, also, I don't know. I just think cheating is wrong. I think it's wrong.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's one thing I pride myself on. I was cheated on when I was young. And I never cheated, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have to carry that weight on your shoulder.
I don't think anyone should treat people like in a way that will hurt them or break their heart.
You're right.
So
that's true. They're talking also about the science of a happy marriage, and they're saying that they did a study, I guess one of millions that they do. And they're saying that satisfaction comes to long-time married elderly women is particularly related to neural activity, whatever that means. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that it says that it involves sensitivity to partners' positive emotions. Makes sense, you know. I think in relationships where it's not working, it's because people are not really connected to each other, maybe don't want to.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, women in the study showed a special sensitivity to their husband's unexpected emotions. That's interesting.
I think I'm confused.
Yeah. Why?
Okay, so certain women have certain neural activity, and that's what connects them more to their husbands?
No, it says that... Well, first of all, I guess they're saying in general, not just the women, but they're saying marital happiness involves sensitivity to partners... positive emotions. And then they're saying the women in the study showed special sensitivity to their husband. So
how is that different from us all knowing that women are compassionate and sensitive to emotions? And that anyone that is like happy is because they are sensitive to other people's emotions. I don't know. I mean, that just sounds like being compassionate or empathetic.
That's true. That's what it sounds like.
And they just did a whole new study about that?
But in theory, it's easy, you know. I don't know in practice if it's that easy to communicate with people.
I guess. Or is there new information like that is...
There probably is. I mean, they're just saying that it's based on science and stuff, you know, so...
Right.
Yeah. I don't know I don't know if everything should be analyzed through science, but maybe it should.
I think it answers things.
It does answer things.
But the same thing, that answers mental illness.
Yeah.
That's a science.
Right.
That's not a choice. That's why chemicals are involved, and that's why people have to take medicine.
Right.
So I think science does help.
Oh, no. Science helps a lot, but I'm just saying that some things science can't explain, I think. Or not great explanations, you know, and then we go into spirituality and things like that, you know.
Yes.
To explain things. Yeah. Oh, well. Also, another tragedy, a two-year-old boy may have... A two-year-old boy may have fatally shot his father in Alabama. So... In other words, they found the father dead, the mother found him dead, the son was there, and they think he shot him accidentally. They're saying there was nobody else in the house, and it could have been that it was just an accident. Now, I try to imagine a two-year-old. I can't see them even holding a gun. Guns are pretty heavy anyway.
And isn't there like some kind of residue that comes off of a gun when you shoot it?
Right. But I don't think it's that they don't know. I think they're not releasing it yet.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
They're saying that the wife discovered him and thinks the son may have shot him.
Well,
so maybe it's just too early.
Isn't there also the science and the residue and all that?
Right. There should be, yeah.
And I get it. If there's no one else there, then you're going to look at the two-year-old. But I think there's also ways to prove that.
Right.
Also, can't they, like, take fingerprints from the gun?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm just saying that this is probably too early in the investigation to tell us about or to release it to the press or to the media or something. I don't know. But, yeah. It's sad because how is a gun left outside anywhere when you have a two-year-old in the house?
I don't know.
How does it not have the safety on?
How does a Why child know loaded? How to shoot a gun?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why is it loaded? Let's say they don't know how to shoot
Maybe
a gun.
Maybe it was the wife.
Maybe they just... Yeah.
And she blamed it on her two-year-old because that's a real plausible solution or scenario.
But they're saying they think only the son and the father were in the house at the time.
Right. Where was the wife?
Where was the wife?
What's her alibi?
Maybe she went shopping.
Sounds like Lifetime.
But, you know, I mean, the thing is that you don't have to know how to shoot, obviously. You just have the gun on the bed. They pick it up and they inadvertently press the trigger and that's it. You know, maybe the bullet ricochets off a wall or...
Maybe. But wouldn't the kid also have a bruise from falling? Because I know that guns have like a, don't they have like a kickback or like whatever, where there's,
right.
It's not easy to shoot a gun.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. But if it's on the bed, I'm just imagining it's on the bed, the two-year-old just sort of reaches for it. And
is a two-year-old on the bed? Because two-year-olds are pretty short.
No, like maybe they're standing and reaching over the bed or something. Just picturing
it. I know. I mean, I think that none of this makes any sense.
Maybe it was left on a table.
And again, how did the kid get on the table if it's 2 years old? Unless it's a really tall... Okay, maybe it's on the coffee table. Again, we'll go...
On the couch.
We'll go back to the parents. And also for the kid to shoot the guy in a place that kills him.
Right.
And aimed...
It happened too many times. How do you explain it? I mean,
I don't know.
I remember having... There was a time when they were reporting this all the time, almost every day, that this was happening.
But it was a two-year-old or was it an older kid?
Well, sometimes it's older, but no, I've heard of two-year-olds. In fact, a couple times, I think.
Well, when the story highlight says police say the man's wife thinks the couple's two-year-old son may have shot him,
right.
What that should say is the wife shot him.
Right. So they're just tiptoeing around it, you say.
Unless they have the smartest two-year-old that is agile, tall, and knows how to work a gun. and they, as parents, taught their kid how to shoot a gun, I don't know that they'd be dumb enough to get shot by the gun.
Yeah.
Out of this, none of this adds up to me.
I know.
So common sense tells me there's more to this story.
Okay, well, let's find out how the mother's involvement here fits into everything.
Yeah, the woman told the police she came home and found the husband dead.
Right.
Okay, so she found the husband dead after she shot him.
Okay, but you're jumping the gun, aren't you?
No. I should work for this police force. Yeah, Alabama, get it true. Together. Or report stories better, CNN.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're just like kind of like going based on hearsay here, and we don't know what the police know.
Like, I get you have to report things when they happen, but I don't think it makes sense to report them without all the facts.
Right.
Like, exactly. You're literally just saying information without information. It's right. Like fluff. Cool. Some guy is dead. Okay. I need to know more for this to be a story.
No, I have to agree, but that's what the media compete on, is breaking stories first.
I think there should be a little more integrity when they do it, then.
I know. But, you know, the media is pretty powerful, so.
I'm over the media.
Yeah.
Get your facts together, media.
Yeah. Okay, well, folks, that's it for today. Go out, make it a great day, like they say, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.